Well, tonight that God is able. I believe He's able to save to the uttermost, deliver us from sin, and put His peace and love and righteousness within our hearts. He is not only able to deliver from sin, He's able to deliver from ourselves and from hurts, bitterness, anger. All those things that sadden people's lives, the Lord is well able to deliver and make us free from those things. But we have a part too, don't we? And that's what I want to talk about a little bit tonight by the help of the Lord. I want the Lord to bless His Word. I want to share a little bit what I consider a real tool in our Christian living. The tool that I want to talk about tonight isn't something you never have heard, but maybe we haven't used it to its fullest benefit. Something the Lord has provided for all of us that will help us in our most difficult times, in our hard times. There's a tool the Lord has made available to us. It's ours by choice. And so I want to talk about that. A provision, something the Lord has made that will actually help us in all our difficult times and hard times. I don't think there's anyone here tonight that doesn't ever have any hard times, doesn't have any trials, maybe some heartache, some disappointment. That's the way of man. All of us are confronted at times with real disappointments and hurts, and hard, difficult times. But what I want to talk about tonight, I believe that God has made available to all of us, and it is the answer to all of our problems. It really is. And I was thinking like this, sometimes, you know, you might see someone struggling and want to hand them something to kind of help their load, make it a little easier. And sometimes they're so determined to do it their own way. And so they work at it, and they work at it, and they work at it, and they make very little success of any, struggling because they just won't let you help them. I feel that's the way it is a lot of times with the Lord. When He sees us struggling in our trials and through our feelings, and He looks down and He has a way, He has a plan to really help us, and He's wanting to impart it to us so much. But remember, what we want to talk about tonight lies with each one of us. You see, the Lord has left us with a will, with a choice. And we can choose to receive His help and His plan and what He's provided for us and let it work in our lives, or we can choose not to do that. And I want to encourage us tonight to take the full advantage of what the Lord's made and provided for us. In the 23rd chapter of Matthew, in the 11th, 12th verse, Jesus said, "But he that is greatest among you, let him be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." And I hope tonight that the Lord will help us to understand this in a greater way. I feel like that it is a powerful weapon for us individually, as a congregation, as a people that loves and serves God, that we sometimes sing a song, do we not? Humility thou surely see, meaning that it's without bounds. And the true humility that the Lord wants to bless our life with will enable us and will empower us in every one of our trials. In everything that we face, it will enable us and help us to be what God would have us to be and give us the victory that we so desire in our hearts and our lives. The Lord said here that if a man would exalt himself, that he will be abased, and that means to be cast down, or that degraded. People that exalt themselves, people that look to themselves, people that are proud and lifted up, even generally in society, they're not really appreciated. You know, you probably have seen people that had such a high opinion of themselves. And even among people of the world, they're not attracted to that. That isn't something that they appreciate. And so he that would exalt himself, Jesus said, shall be abased. That's the only way to go. He isn't going to be lifted up. He isn't going to really be of value. The only course for that one that becomes lifted up is down. And so he that would exalt himself shall be abased. But he that will humble himself, the Lord said he shall be exalted, or that he would lift him up. In connection with this thought, I'm thinking of the time in which we live. We live in a time, we live in the last days. I think we'd readily agree to that. And I was thinking of how little appreciation tonight there is for submission and humbling oneself. And yet it's so through God's plan, even in a natural way of living. In the Word of the Lord, it teaches that wives should be in subjection to their own husband and should obey their husband in the Lord. And just to balance that, I'll say, too, that the Bible also tells us as husbands to love our wives, even as our own body. But I'm thinking of how the world in general doesn't really seem to understand that or appreciate that, the value of that. And in the last, I don't know when it really began, but you probably heard of a women's liberation movement, and how a group began to feel like that women needed greater liberation, needed greater rights, and exert themselves in greater ways. I want you to know tonight that really wasn't of the Lord. And that it isn't something that God was pleased with. It didn't come from Him. Then I think also of how the Word of the Lord teaches children to be in subjection and children to obey their parents. We've heard that all of our life. But did you know also the Scripture says that in the last days the children will be disobedient to their own parents? And there would be a rebellion to their parents. And we see today in the news how that children are suing their parents in courts of law and divorcing their parents and choosing other than their own parents, those who they wish to be have authority over them. I rather doubt that maybe 20 or 30 years ago that wouldn't have entertained anyone's thought. But that's the day in which we live, where children have come to where they have rebelled in a natural way. And that wasn't from the Lord either. Then we have in the Word of the Lord teaching us that we should be in subjection to authority, in those that are in authority, lawmakers and so forth. And we know tonight that there's a lot of corruption in that. But still, as those that know the Lord and live according to His Word, we're taught to be in subjection and to respect the office, even if you can't really esteem the person that holds that office. But in general, there's not much respect for government today. There's not much esteem, and there's no really submission or humbling before them. We also find in the Word of the Lord where it teaches that we should be in subjection to the elders, and that's God's plan, that He has placed those in the body of Christ as oversights, and He has taught us that we should be in subjection to them. But I find that that also is not real popular. People don't just really seek to excel in conforming to that. Well, I just really want to conform, and it's just really not according to their nature. And many times we will see the authority as men and fail to recognize as God's plan that even the fact that they're in that position, that we ought to honor and humble ourselves. You see, humbling ourselves isn't a natural thing of man. It isn't something that just comes in a natural way. It is by our obedience to the Lord and to His Word, and by His divine help and grace, He puts that spirit in our hearts and enables us to actually humble and submit ourselves. I believe that the Lord set all of those things in order to prepare us and to help us to understand and know what it means to humble ourselves and to submit ourselves in natural life that we'd understand better what it means to humble ourselves and to submit ourselves unto God. And if we could realize the value of that, you know, we don't just teach our children to be obedient just simply because it said children ought to obey their parents, but we need to understand the value of that and to instill and to teach in that child to be submissive and be obedient, and as that is in their hearts and lives as they begin to mature and become older, we begin to tell them that that we are to submit ourselves to God and humble ourselves before the Lord, they'll understand it better. If a child is not brought into subjection, if a child is brought up like the world would bring them up today and say, well, you just do your own thing and don't mar them or don't change them and don't train them, then when they come to an age when the gospel is brought to them, they'll not really understand as well as they could what it means to submit themselves or to humble themselves unto the Lord. It means something tonight to humble ourselves that the Lord might lift us up. I feel like tonight there's a great need for uplifting from the Lord, to be exalted of the Lord. There's no greater need in every one of our lives is to be exalted of the Lord, lifted up of the Lord. And there's really only one way to be exalted. It's true that you might conduct your life in such a way that you would win the favor of other people, or you might impress other people, or you might make a mark or a name for yourself. But to really be lifted up with the fullness of God's blessing and His true riches in our hearts and lives, there is only one way that that can be accomplished, and that's through humbling ourselves. Humbling ourselves before the Lord, that He would exalt us or lift us up. Sometimes people have a desire to be saved, and they will seek to be saved, and maybe they'll begin to associate themselves, and that's good, in an environment of those that know the Lord. I have seen people pray at an altar of prayer, and I've seen them shed tears, and I've seen them labor for a length of time seeking the Lord, but never seeming to be able to really pray through and know the forgiveness of their sins, and to have the joy of the Lord in their heart and life. And I've concluded it's because even though they may have made an effort, and they may have shed tears, they must humble themselves at an altar of prayer. There must be an inward humbling and submission within themselves to really be able to be elevated or exalted into salvation or the forgiveness of their sins. It also works in our spiritual lives. We desire to have more of the Lord, and we desire to have more power in our life. We can express that desire, and we can solicit prayer, and we can have good intentions, but it actually only is going to come to pass in our life when we meet that place and we humble ourselves or submit ourselves before God. And I'm convinced tonight that God will be there every time one truly humbles himself before the Lord. The word is true tonight, and it works. And the Lord is no respect to persons. We can't say, well, He blesses others, but He don't seem to meet my needs. If He's not meeting the needs of our life, if He's not blessing us, it's simply that we're not meeting the conditions, and we're not truly humbling ourselves from our heart as we would seek Him. Because it works tonight. It works in everyone's life. Now, to humble oneself is an act of our will. It's something that we have control over. Not everyone that's humbled humbles himself. For an example, there might be someone that would this has happened, I've seen it happen a lot of times, when they would take something that didn't belong to them. They stole something. And they were apprehended. And they were brought back through the store, and a lot of people know exactly what happened. That's a very humbling experience, isn't it? That's real humility, you know, that someone stole something, and now they've been caught, and other people see them as they go, and so they're really humbled. The situation humbled them, but they didn't really humble themselves. I have I have met with people in Skid Row in Los Angeles. Men that had lost their homes, they had lost their jobs, they had lost their self-respect, they had lost everything in life. And yet, they wouldn't humble themselves to the point of letting the Lord come into their heart and life. Talking with them, encouraging them to seek the Lord. What do you have to lose? You don't have anything. Just walking the streets with nothing left. And yet, they were not willing to humble themselves. They were in an humble position in that respect. The fact that the course of life they had taken and where they were. And so, tonight, just because people sometimes are humble by God or circumstances, that doesn't really mean that they humble themselves. And the Lord is teaching us here tonight that if we'll humble ourselves by our choice, by that which we decide within us, I'll humble myself, then He's going to exalt us. He's going to hear the prayer. He's going to bless us and meet the need of our hearts and of our lives tonight if we'll simply learn the value of humbling ourselves before the Lord. In the 138th Psalm, in the 6th verse, it says, "Though the Lord be high, yet hath He respect unto the lowly, but the proud He knoweth afar off." Now, in this scripture, it's teaching us that though the Lord is righteous and holy and mighty, yet He hath respect unto the lowly. In the 10th chapter of Acts, the message that Peter brought forth, he said that he perceived that God was no respect to persons. And I believe that tonight. I believe tonight that God is no respect to person. Whether it's people tonight in the penitentiary and down in the skid rows or in palaces, wealthy, whoever they may be, God is not a respect to persons. But Peter went on to say that they that would fear the Lord and they that would seek Him. And this scripture says that the Lord has respect unto the lowly. And so tonight, though God is not a respect to persons, to each and every one that is lowly or humbles himself, God has a special respect to that. He takes special note. He looks that way. And He is moved by that. Doesn't matter who it is, young or old, rich or poor, when an individual actually comes to the Lord and humbles himself before the Lord, He's going to bless them. He's going to have respect unto that. And that ought to encourage our hearts tonight. Sometimes we feel like, well, I've tried, and I can't seem to reach the goal of my life. With some people, they've tried to be saved, and it seems like they have a hard time keeping safe. Other people have spiritual needs in their life that they work on, and they want victory. I want you to be encouraged tonight, regardless of who we are, to know that God does have respect to those that will humble himself, to those that will yield and submit themselves to God, regardless of how great or how small the failure or the need might be. We ought to be encouraged to know that as I approach the Lord, as I look to Him and acknowledge my need and humble my heart before Him, He will regard that. He will have respect unto me. And He'll bless me as I seek Him. In the 34th Psalm, familiar scripture here also. Well, I want to read the 4th through the 6th. It says, "I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles." Why do you suppose the Lord heard him? Why do you suppose he was saved out of all of his troubles? He said, this poor man, this man was humbled. This man was seeking the Lord in humility. And when this poor man cried, you know, other people may cry, but unless they become poor before the Lord, poor in their spirit, humble in their heart, they can just cry and cry and cry. But when he acknowledged that he was a poor man, an humble man, and that he cried unto the Lord, said the Lord heard him And I believe tonight he's the same God, and I believe he works the same way, that if a man or woman or child becomes poor in spirit and they cry unto the Lord is going to hear them, and the Lord is going to deliver them out of all their troubles. We don't have to live a troubled life. We don't have to live substandard of his great plan of salvation. It can work in his fullness in every one of our lives, whether we're young or old. You know, sometimes when we're young, we meet temptations, we have trials that older people don't have. And we think, well, you know, when I get through this stage and get older, maybe I can have greater victory. Maybe I can conquer the thing that's plagued or hindered me. Well, you'll find when you get older, you still have severe trials and real tests in your life. But remember this, that the Lord has respect unto the lowly. And he has promised that if we humble ourselves, that we will be exalted, that we'll be lifted up, that you and I can be victorious. Sometimes we may feel, I struggle with this and I struggle with this. Might be affections that we have that are not conformed to God and God's will. It may be feelings and attitudes that we struggle with. And it may be real temptations. And we have worked and tried and tried and seem like we just can't get the strength and the victory that we want in our life. But let you know tonight that if we'll humble ourselves before the Lord, whether it's in a public altar of prayer or whether it's in your personal place of prayer, if you humble yourself and humble your heart before the Lord, he will exalt you. He'll lift you up. He'll hear that prayer and he'll establish the strength and the grace that you need to be victorious. So don't settle cheap. Don't think tonight, well, I've tried several times and I couldn't maintain it. I couldn't hold on to it. What's the use? We sang the song that God is able. And I believe that tonight, that he's able to save to the uttermost, and he's able to strengthen the weakest, and the weakest can say that I'm strong through the power and the grace and the blessing of God in our life. The 18th chapter of St. Luke, where Jesus was giving a lesson to people that trusted in themselves, they were righteous, remember? And two men went up the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. For I fast twice in the week and I give tithes of all I possess. And sometimes when we read this, we think, well, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't say that to the Lord. But what attitude of heart do we really come to the Lord before the Lord, say? Might not just say it in those words, but when we come before the Lord, and when we're seeking him, what is the attitude or the feelings that we have? You know, well, I've been one of the saints for a long time. Surely the Lord will hear me. Yeah. And if we come to the Lord in a spirit of self-righteousness, self-exaltation, in any way, the Lord is not going to respond and not going to be able to answer that kind of prayer, regardless of who we are. The publican, Jesus given this lesson, he said the publican will not as much as lift up his eyes, but he smote on his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Don't you think that God could have blessed the Pharisee if he'd had the right prayer? If he'd had the right condition of heart, if he had humbled himself before the Lord, even though he is a religious man? And he could have come before the Lord and said, Lord, really I don't have anything to bring you or anything to offer you, but I'm asking for your mercy. And I want you to help me. Don't you believe the Lord had helped him? But the lesson is the attitude and the spirit in which they approached the Lord. And the Pharisee, being a hypocrite or just a religious person, he wanted to tell the Lord how good he was and what he deserved from the Lord. And the Lord wasn't able to bless that. I believe tonight that you and I can claim everything that God's done for us. With thanksgiving and praise, we can exalt and give him thanks for the salvation he's blessed us with. We can thank Him for every victory and all the strength and the power that He's blessed in our life. We can acknowledge that before the Lord and give Him thanks. And at the same time, approach Him with an humble heart. Lord, I recognize that everything that's been accomplished, every blessing and all goodness, is simply that which came from You. And now I'm appealing to You, I'm looking to You, Lord, to help me. I want You to impart even greater grace and greater strength in my life. It is important to approach the Lord with a humble heart and to humble ourselves in His presence that He might exalt us, that He might lift us up. In the 12th chapter of Romans, he's addressing the brethren that we would consecrate our life to the Lord and not be conformed to the world. And the third verse says, "For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Say, well, I've been a Christian for 20 years, 30 years. I was a preacher, and I was a missionary, and, you know, I was this and I was that. Don't think too high of yourself. Everything that's been accomplished of any worth and any good in your life, it was simply the Lord living in you and working through you. See, don't think of yourself too highly. If we, you know, we may not say it. You know, sometimes people have pretty good control of their words. You know, they may not say, well, I really think I'm pretty well accomplished. I fit pretty high on a scale of spiritual people. You know, they may feel that way. And if we get into that condition of mind and heart, it limits God in being able to bless us or help us and enrich our lives, and it'll cause us not to grow. It's one thing to acknowledge the Lord's blessings and thank Him for what He's done for us and how He blesses us, and to recognize that He is living in us and through us and using our life, and we can give Him praise. The Apostle Paul did that, didn't he? But to recognize that it's really not me.
Yes, that's so.
And not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. If you want to accomplish something for the Lord, I can tell you tonight what will hinder you quicker than anything else. And that is to begin to think it's you. Whether you're preaching or whether you're witnessing, whether you're teaching or whether you're singing, whatever effort you're doing for God, if you come to the place, say, well, I think I'm getting pretty good at this. I'm getting a little accomplished. And as soon as you really have those thoughts and entertain them or receive them into your heart and life, it's going to work. What I say, he that exalted himself shall be abased. That's just how it works with everyone. Doesn't matter who we are tonight. I like to see God's people exalted. I love to see the Lord pour out His Spirit. And it doesn't matter in what way and what service they're rendering and how He's using their life. I just thoroughly enjoy seeing the Lord bless the efforts and the work. And it is to those that humble himself before the Lord. If we humble ourselves, the Lord will exalt us. He'll lift us up. In the Proverbs, the 10th chapter, and 16th chapter and 18th verse says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit, highly elevated before a fall." Pride goeth before destruction. Do you remember Saul? Wasn't it Saul that God chose to be king of Israel? What did he say to Saul after Saul had failed? He said, "When you was little in your own sight, that's when I chose you. That's when I anointed you to be king. That's when I chose to use you in a special way in your special life." And I don't believe God's changed at all. I believe He is working the same way. He's looking for those like that Saul was when he first met Him, and knew that he was little and knew that he was nothing. And that's when God anointed him. That's when God chose him. And when Paul become elevated, when he become lifted up, the Spirit of the Lord couldn't bless him anymore. He couldn't use him anymore. It's still the same way tonight. To all of us, you know, the Lord has a purpose and a plan and a work for every one of our lives. And It doesn't really matter that much where we're placed in the body of Christ. We each one have that responsibility. And we each one are bearing a light for the Lord and helping others to be saved and encouraging those that know the Lord. And the only way that that can be accomplished in our life is that the Lord would bless us, that He would exalt us, that He would lift us up. And what's encouraging to me tonight is that we each one have control. Every one of us tonight can humble ourselves before the Lord. We may feel sometimes, well, I don't have a lot of natural ability. I don't feel that I have much really to offer. And if you ever feel that way, you're not alone. But the thing of it is, if God blesses it, and if God anoints it, and if God is working in and through it, it will accomplish what God designed for it to do. I am convinced tonight with all my heart, in just this congregation, there are lives that God wants to use in a greater way. I believe there are those in different areas of working for the Lord and serving Him that He wants His presence and His power and His grace and wants to anoint even our personal testimonies to the world. And He wants us to be effective in our Christian living tonight. And that comes through His blessing upon us, and that blessing comes as we humble ourselves before the Lord. If we humble ourselves, the Lord will truly exalt us. But pride goeth before destruction. Isn't it sad that there are those tonight that God has one time used in a great way, great measure? You read it through history. We know it in a personal way. That there are those that the Lord blessed and lived through and worked through their life. And it was such a blessing. But then they become self-sufficient. They become lifted up. And I'm not saying that they would just go around telling, I'm ready to reach the peak. But when people have an attitude of heart, the Lord no longer can bless them. I want us, especially our young people tonight, I want you to get that deep down in your heart. To know that God wants to bless you and can bless you in such an abundant way, wherever He designs to use you. But you must maintain that humility. You must humble yourself continually before the Lord that He can exalt you. It is a continuous relationship, experience that we have with the Lord. If I'll humble myself before the Lord, if I'll cry unto Him and acknowledge, Lord, I can do nothing. I can be no blessing. I have nothing to offer except You pour it in. And we really feel that way and believe it in our heart and life, the Lord will do it. The Lord will bless us and the Lord will anoint us if we'll acknowledge the Lord in that way. I was thinking also in connection with what we want to receive from the Lord and how humility or humbling ourselves, how it directly affects that. In the 21st chapter of Matthew and the 22nd verse, Jesus said, "In all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." Whatever you ask of the Lord in prayer, believing, He said, ye shall receive. Well, I believe what the Lord says. And I believe tonight that whatever we would ask of the Lord, you know, large or small, desires and needs in our life, if we'll ask the Lord in prayer, He says, believing, we will receive it. And I'm convinced it works that way. Now, I'm thinking of how important it is to, the key to this is believing. And what helps us to believe? Well, our obedience certainly strengthens and builds our faith in being obedient to the Lord. Also, in humbling ourselves, that will strengthen our faith, and that will enable us to believe. You know, if a man or woman is not saved and doesn't know the Lord, and they really humble himself and begin to repent and seek the Lord, that will actually inspire their faith. You know, they'll believe because they're fulfilling the word of the Lord, and that will build their faith. So whatever they ask, believing, the Lord's going to hear and answer their prayer. So I feel like tonight that humbling oneself or humility strengthens our faith. It helps us to really believe. And Jesus said that if we ask in prayer, and if we believe, that it's going to happen in our life. So tonight, regardless of what the need may be, humbling yourself is going to inspire and strengthen your faith. And if your faith is strong, if we believe without doubting, the Lord is going to grant us the desire of our heart. I wonder tonight if there's times that we live a little below what we really feel is our privilege in the Lord, in His plan for our life. We don't have to do that. I sometimes think that people struggle too much in themselves. They hear the word, or it's brought to their attention, or maybe even their personal devotions. They feel, oh, I wish tonight that I could move into that place. I wish I could have that closeness, that power, that experience. I want to tell us tonight it's there and that we can have it. We don't have to just wish for years. We don't have to feel like, well, you know, other people seem to attain it, I can't. But the key tonight is to simply acknowledge it to the Lord, humble ourselves, and let Him fill the vessel. What we ask the Lord in prayer, it says He'll surely do. In the 66th chapter of Isaiah, I'd like to read a couple of verses here. Speaking of the greatness of the Lord, he says, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath my hand made." That's how great the Lord is. "And all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word." That's the person I'm looking to. That's the object of my heart, the one that I really love, the one that I want to exalt, the one I want to give victory to, is that one tonight that is of an humble heart, a contrite, and that really fears the word of the Lord, or fears the Lord and His Spirit, has that respect and honor and responds to the Lord. That isn't complicated, is it? To just come to a place and say, well, Lord, I truly love You. I appreciate Your counsel, Your word, and I'm just going to be humble and contrite to You and Your Spirit. I want You to work in my heart and life. Listen tonight, we should never, never push off the Spirit of the Lord. As one of the greatest honors there is tonight is to have the Lord speak to us, regardless of where we are and regardless of what the needs are. And we should never seek to excuse ourselves or seek to just kind of build a barrier to the Holy Spirit, but humble ourselves and ask the Lord, I want You, Lord, to search me. I want You, Lord, to show me. And I want You, Lord, to help me. And did you know the Lord wants to do just that tonight? The Lord wants to bless us all with victory. He wants us to have the fullness of the blessing of salvation that He's made for us. So the Lord said He would look. Every time in your life when you want the Lord to look your way, have you ever had a real hard time? Real trying circumstances? Lord, I want You to look my way. Generally, that's when we go to our personal place of prayer and just really pour out our heart to the Lord. You know, sometimes we refer it to as praying through or touching His throne. And probably most all of us have had those experiences where we felt like we really touched the throne of God, really moved Him on His throne, and He met the need and He blessed it. But you know what really happened? We come to the place where we just poured out our heart. We come to the place where we humble ourselves before the Lord. And we didn't go to Him saying, Lord, this is really bothering me. I wish You'd work it out. And this is the way I want You to do it. You know, or if You just straighten up this one or that one. But what we did is we just come before Him. And with the very spirit of our heart, we just poured it out as water. And we humble ourselves before the Lord. And I want to tell you tonight that every time that we do that, He'll bless your soul. Every time He'll look your way. And He'll hear and answer your prayer. Don't be discouraged. Don't feel tonight that you have to settle for less. The Lord loves all of us tonight. He knows us all together. He knows what we face. He knows our trials. He knows our needs. And it's so wonderful tonight to know that He's going to look our way. If we'll humble our hearts, and if we'll fear the Lord, He says He would certainly look our way. Do you remember Solomon when he became king of Israel? Solomon had a prayer to the Lord. He had a desire. And I'm going to turn and read that in 1 Kings, the 3rd chapter. I'm always challenged by Solomon and his unselfishness. In 1 Kings, the 3rd chapter, in the 7th verse, Solomon here was seeking the Lord. And he says, "And now, O Lord, my God, Thou hast made Thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child, and I know not how to go in or how to come out, how to go out or how to come in. And Thy servant is in the midst of Thy people, which Thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered for or counted for multitude. And give therefore Thy servant an understanding heart to judge Thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this so great a people?" And that speech pleased the Lord, and Solomon had asked this thing. In connection with this thought, I'm thinking of in every one of our lives. I trust it's this way, that we desire to excel. We desire that the Lord would bless us, that we could be a blessing. And I know in my personal life, I've never felt a need more in the last little while than for real wisdom like Solomon prayed for. Solomon didn't ask for this wisdom that he could just always be right. That isn't what he said. He didn't say, "Lord, you give me this wisdom so I can keep my credibility and that I can rule and I'll never be wrong." But in an humble way, he asked the Lord. He said, "I'm a little child. I really don't know how to go in, how to go out. But if you give me the wisdom that I can judge your people, and that I can be a help, that I can fill this place, that's my prayer." And it pleased the Lord. The unselfishness of it, the concern and the love that he had for the people, and I see it as a real humble prayer. "I'm a little child. I can't do it without you. And I want, Lord, that you would bestow this upon me, that you would bless it to my life." And you think tonight what it'd be like if everyone that names the name of the Lord would approach him that way? Each one of us would come before the Lord in our personal prayer and relationship with the Lord and say, "Lord, I'm a child. I really don't know a whole lot. I don't really have a lot of ability. But Lord, I want you to bless me with your gifts. I want you to exalt me, Lord, with understanding, with wisdom, with grace. I want you to fill my life so I can be a blessing to your people and that I can be a blessing to the lost world." That's my motivation. That's my desire, is, Lord, that my life can count for God. And so I'm asking you to do that, Lord, but I realize that you have to do it with what I am, nothing. That's what Solomon said. And the Lord was pleased with that. The Lord gave him wisdom, and he blessed him in many other ways, didn't he? Tonight, I trust the Lord will encourage our hearts. Know that God has a place for you to fill. I think sometimes we underestimate really how the Lord wants to bless. Sometimes mothers, you know, feel like, "Well, I'm kind of locked in a home with children." The Lord wants to bless your life. He wants to bless those children through your life. Through the Spirit of the Lord. You need the Spirit of the Lord to rest upon you and to live through you, that you could actually raise and lead those children to the Lord. And to fathers, the same way. To all of us tonight, the Lord wants to bless and use our lives. If we'll learn to humble ourselves, He'll exalt us. He'll lift us up. Not in a cheap human way, not in a way that's, just honor of men or recognition of men. That isn't worth anything. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about exalting us with His righteousness and His graces and His power in our heart and life. And that's true exaltation. In the 11th chapter of Matthew, this is familiar to probably all of us tonight. Jesus invited us here to learn a little bit about Him. I'll read the 28th verse. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Have you ever thought what all the Lord could have put in there? "I want you to come and learn of me. Learn how powerful I am and who I really am and how successful I am. Come and learn. I'm the divine Son of God. And I wish you'd come and learn more of me." But he said the most important thing. "I want you to come and learn of me, the Son of God. I am meek and lowly in heart." That means down in here. I'm meek and lowly in heart. I appreciate modesty. I appreciate it in our attire. I like to see modest spirits in people's opinions, you know. People that are not contentious and people that are willing to listen. I think that's a real, it's something that I admire. People that can listen. And people that consider other people's opinions, you know, they're modest in that respect. But this modesty or this meekness and lowliness of heart is more than the surface. It goes right down into the depths of our heart. And Jesus said that was Him. If you want to be more like Christ, ask the Lord to help you be more meek and more lowly in heart. He really felt that way. You know, sometimes I've heard people say, "I'm the least among the least." You know, I stand up and say, "I'm the least among the least. I'm just nothing." And you just kind of watch for a little while and you think, do they really believe that? You know? And I'm not saying they didn't really say it in a sincere way. But is that what their actions actually portray or bring forth? You know, you just watch a little bit and you see people's conduct and you see the way they talk and the way they live, and one thing may say, "Well, you know, I'm so little, I'm so nothing," but sometimes the way they conduct themselves doesn't really show out that way. Yeah. I say that with respect. But God is looking down in the heart all the time, and that's where God blesses. In other words, tonight I could stand up here tonight and say, "Oh, I feel so unworthy. I feel so humbled." And if I didn't really feel that way, the Lord couldn't bless. If I really had an opinion or an estimation of myself a little higher, then the Lord, He's looking down all the time. He don't listen so much to the words. He's looking down the heart. And when He sees that really from the depths of my heart that I'm meek and lowly, that's when He's going to exalt. That's when He's going to bless us.
Yes, that's so.
And the Lord does look into our hearts tonight. And He knows us all together. And every time that we from the heart humble ourselves before the Lord, He's going to bless us. I'd encourage you in your prayer life to stay there a little while. And that's why sometimes it takes a while to get blessed. Because we're human and the cares of life and thoughts in our minds, sometimes it takes a while to press through that and to really humble ourselves before the Lord, and then He'll bless us. Have you ever had someone that bothered you a great deal? There's kind of a trial to you. Or maybe they actually did you wrong and they offended you and you was really wanting to forgive. And the Scripture teaches us what to do. It says to pray for them. It doesn't say just say a prayer. It says pray for them. So as we really from the heart begin to pray for them and seek that the Lord would bless them, What really takes place is in that prayer, we begin to be humbled before the Lord. And that's why we receive the grace. That's why we receive the blessing or the help or the forgiveness of that offense or that one that has wronged us is because we become humble before the Lord. See, as you pray for the other person, your heart and in a real spirit of prayer, it'll always lead you to humbling yourself before the Lord. Now, you know that's happened. You know, you begin to pray, and then pretty soon you, at least I feel like most of us would do that, and we begin to look at our own self and say, "Oh, Lord, help me," you know. And when we humble ourselves, the Lord's looking our way. And the Lord is blessing us, and the Lord elevates us with His divine graces and power in our heart and our life. It's the experience and the blessing that we all can enjoy. Back to the thought of the Lord here. Said, "I am meek and lowly in heart." In connection with that, I'd like to read over in the second chapter of Philippians, where he tells us here that he humbled himself. Second chapter of Philippians. Well, third verse is so good, I don't want to skip it. It says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of other. And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." He knew who he was. He knew he was the Son of God. "But made of himself no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." A note, he humbled himself. He became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. And the next verse says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him." That was my beginning text, wasn't it? To they that would exalt themselves, they shall be abased. He that humbled himself shall be exalted. It worked that way with the Lord. And he said, "The Lord God had given him a name that was highly exalted, a name which is above every name, that only in that name can we be saved." But I want to go back to the thought in the 8th verse. We found that Jesus humbled himself and became obedient under the cross. Was the cross a just thing for him? Did he deserve the cross? Would you in your human thinking tonight think that was right, that a just man should be required to humble himself and go to the cross? No, human thinking wouldn't justify that, but divine would. It was God's plan. Is it possible that sometimes the Lord would call for us to humble ourselves under similar circumstances? It seems like people sometimes, when they're totally convinced they're wrong, that they will humble themselves. But when I'm right, it's so hard to humble myself when I know that I'm right. And yet there is times in our experience, in our life, when you can be right, and it will still be in God's plan for you to humble yourself. That's what the Lord did. Now the Lord would have said, "Now, wait a minute. I have committed no sin. I'm holy. I'm righteous. This isn't a just thing. It's not right. And I don't see any reason at all why I should submit myself to this, being that it is evil and not right." And yet it was something that God arranged for his life. It was a plan of God in him. And therefore, he humbled himself and he became obedient. There are times today in our life that the Lord may design and require that we would humble ourselves and become obedient unto the Lord, that His will, that His plan would be accomplished in our life, that He'd be able to work through us. And we need to learn that. We need to learn to be willing to humble ourselves to whatever the Lord designs or whatever He guides in our hearts or in our lives. In the 4th chapter of James, in the 6th verse, I think someone commented on this today in our personal conversation, says, "But He giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble." Do you think tonight the proud is only those that are decked out you know, that we look at sometimes and we say, oh, how worldly and how proud, you know, proud looks. That isn't all the pride. I wish it was. You know, I wish that if people get rid of those adornments and those things, that they wouldn't have any trouble with pride anymore. That'd be great. But it works so much further than that. And it says here that God resisted the proud, or you can't really get any grace or any help from the Lord until you humble yourself. And did you know tonight that there's times in all of our lives that we need more grace?
Yes, that's right.
We have our trials. We have maybe injustice. We have temptations and problems of life that we actually need more grace. There is only one way to get more grace, and that's to humble yourself before the Lord. It's where it comes from. And tonight, sometimes people have said, well, I just didn't have enough grace. I don't think we should take that lightly. If we have come to a time in our life or experience, and whether it be conditions or individuals, and we feel like I just didn't have the grace I should have had, that ought to stir our hearts, and that ought to call us to a place of prayer. He resisteth the proud. If we are going to defend or establish our own righteousness and feel like, because there's a number of things I don't do, I can fall short of the perfection of His love and graces and power in my life, we're going to be denied. You come to the Lord and say, well, Lord, you know, I'm not doing this or that, and I'm living a pretty good life, and I'm pretty well accepted. You know, most of the people shake my hand and acknowledge me as a brother. That isn't what gives us grace. What gives us grace is to, in our hearts, humble ourselves before the Lord. Lord, I need grace. I really need Your divine strength and power in my life to love and to conduct myself in a Christ-like way. And so, He says here that He giveth more grace, but it's to the humble. The 10th verse, He says again, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. You ever have someone apologize to you and you didn't think they really meant it? Maybe the pressure was on. And they said, you know, I'm sorry. Sorry they got caught, or, you know, it just really wasn't genuine. You really question whether they're really sorry. Were they really humble themselves? You know, sometimes people do that just to kind of clear the air a little bit. But the Lord says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. So He looks down when we humble ourselves, and He looks right into our hearts, and He knows just how we feel, and He knows when it's really from the heart that I've humbled myself. And when we do that, He's going to exalt us. He's going to bless us. He's going to lift us up. In the 57th chapter of Isaiah, I don't want to leave this verse out of this little lesson tonight. And the 15th verse says, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. That's God. God teaching us that in His greatness He inhabiteth eternity. So great, so wonderful, so powerful. And that's where He dwells. But it says He also dwells with that one that is of a contrite and humble spirit. He says, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Tonight, that's how we're revived. That's how we're stirred. That's how we keep life, spiritual life, and keep victory within us, is the God that lives in us. And as we maintain that contrite and humble spirit, He revives us. He is the one that keeps us victorious. He is the one that stirs within our hearts. It's so valuable tonight. It's so important in our hearts. That high and lofty one, the God, the great God, that He would dwell, condescend, and live within us. That's what He said He'd do. That's where He dwells. He doesn't dwell in the heart that's full of pride, the heart that's full of self-righteous, the heart that's so human and so given to excuse themselves and defend themselves. That isn't where He dwells. But He dwells in the truly humble heart. And He will revive us. And He will stir within us. I trust tonight that the Lord would encourage all of our hearts to use this in a greater measure. I know tonight that you have used it, and that's why you're here. Most all of you. The reason you're here tonight is because, to some degree, you have humbled yourself. It's the only way you could have got saved. The only way that you could be helped in your spiritual life is that you've humbled yourself. So, tonight I'm not trying to say in any way or imply that you don't know anything about what I'm talking about. But I want us to be encouraged to use it in a greater measure. That God would bless us and God would live through us and work through our lives. I trust that everyone would be encouraged. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.